with me, if you will, this morning to the second epistle of Peter. Chapter 1. One that we should be familiar with, but I believe that there are things that God would speak to us this morning from these verses. Each one of us sitting here this morning are controlled by something. We would trust that the controlling factor is the Spirit of God in your life. Many times we can get into our own habits. They become ruts. They control us. It takes the power of God to change those habits to where they can be spiritual and be a response to God in a walk of faith. This is one of the hardest areas to affect. It's hard for us to see the value. It takes something really moving in our hearts if we're going to grasp these areas and if we're going to put them into work in our lives. It takes a power, a strength outside of our own. Even though we see those in the world around about us that see certain things that they want and they discipline themselves until they obtain them. This is something that comes from the lust, whatever it might be. Sometimes we term lust only in a small concept. But lust, and my definition this morning is anything that I want for myself. We might look briefly, before I go into 2 Peter there. There was a man that for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. This was a man that was spoken of. He was a hunter. He must have had a number of virtues, but he missed the one virtue: no self-control. For one morsel of meat. You know, when we read that verse, it should be something that puts a true fear in our heart of displeasing the Lord in any way. This man here sold his birthright. And this is given to us by the writer of Hebrews for a reason, to speak to us. It cannot be something that's just here and we read by and, you know, we think that this doesn't affect us. But for one morsel of meat, one time of indulgence, he sold his birthright. He goes on to speak to us in the same chapter of Hebrews, and you don't have to turn there, but in the 28th and 29th verse of the 12th chapter, wherefore we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. Now, beloved, without any spirit of criticism, let me say this to us. We are missing what I term a godly fear. And I say that for all of our hearts. We really have a godly fear? Do we realize who we serve? Do we have a fear of displeasing Him? Are we living still for ourselves? Are we living out of lust? Because that's what living for yourself is having things for yourself, desiring things. I must have it for myself. Whatever area it is, it can be mental, it can be physical, it can be material. Whatever it is that controls you can be a means of selling your birthright. And this man here, after doing this, sought the Lord with tears, yet could not find a place of repentance. He knew what he was doing. He sold his birthright. Now you say, well, that doesn't pertain to us. These scriptures are not down here unless they are for us, that we can take and glean something from them, that the Holy Spirit can speak to us and show us our real needs. We've looked at this first chapter of 2 Peter a number of times for different things, and this morning I trust that God can again open it up to us, because there's areas that must be affected in our lives. And the only way they're going to be affected if we are in a relationship and are responding to God, that God is working in us His grace, His ability to be what He wants us to be. Because lust, if you just stop and realize for a minute what it does, it's very degrading. It brings us always, whatever area comes to your life, the ones that I've mentioned, it's degrading. It brings you down. Brings you to a place where there is no real morality. This does, that we may have when we start to just desire things for ourselves. Let me begin to read this morning at verse 2. Peter saying, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According to His divine power has He given unto us all things pertaining to godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us." Here's what I want to emphasize: has called us to glory and virtue. Called us to glory and virtue. We're not blind this morning, I don't believe. That if we will stop for one moment and glimpse, just kind of gaze around us, take account of what's going on around us in the world and in our own thing, we can see that what Peter is addressing here is apropos for our hour that we live in. The question is, how serious, how close to home has it come that it's going to take and jar us into action? Are the Holy Spirit going to be such a dynamic experience in our life that it jars us out of our thinking, which leaves us in the place that we are? There must be progress. There must be growth. There must be something being added to our lives. And if that's not something that holds a tremendous passion in your soul, then something's wrong in your relationship with God, because your relationship with God, this is what is working. This is what the Holy Spirit is drawing us to, that place to where we are desirous. And there must be an addition in our lives if we're going to stand. Paul speaks about it in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, where he says, putting on the whole armor of God, the whole purpose of it is that we might stand in the time of testing. That we might stand. And of course, we think we're going to stand until the temptation is there. Unless we're prepared, we'll be as Esau. When the temptation was there, when hunger seemed to overwhelm him, he was willing to sell his birthright for a morsel of bread or meat. In other words, we're fine until the test comes. Can we stand the test? Are we prepared? Because if we're not prepared, we're not going to stand the test. You can say all day, by the grace of God, I'll stand the test. Unless you're prepared, unless you've given yourself to the exercise of a relationship with God, unless there is growth, unless there's addiction in your life, training, instruction, They're not very easy at the time. We don't like to go through these times, but every one of us sitting here are either going through them or have gone through them, or we continue to go through these areas to bring us to higher ground, to bring us to a greater viewpoint, to where we can see more clearly the things that God has for us. Somebody that is not mature, that has no addition in their lives, cannot appreciate the things of God. And so thus we just go along. We seem to serve God on a very low level rather than having Him lifted to the place that He is and know that He is a consuming fire and rejoice in that. But knowing that He is a loving Father also that has made every provision that we can be strengthened. Strengthened takes energy. Why do you think all these people today, all these places opening up, they're pushing iron? You know what that means? Okay. Lifting weight, pumping iron, whatever what you want to call it. What do you think they're trying to do? Uh-huh. Exercise. They've been exercised by something. They're trying to do something. We're talking about something that's more valuable in eternity than anything that the body has. Paul says, bodily exercise profiteth little. And that's exactly what it means. It profiteth little. That doesn't mean it has no value, but it profiteth little. We're talking about being exercised by the Spirit of God. And if we're being exercised, we must see evidence. Because those people there that are pumping that iron day after day, go by sometime and just glance at those coming out of that place and going into that place. Have you ever done that? Great pride. They all wear their sweatshirts and everything with their muscles all bulging out and everything like this. You see them. And then most of the time they walk around like they're I don't know what. You call it what you want to. But the thing is, there's progress. Their exercising is producing something exactly what they want to. The very exercise that they're doing are producing the muscles that they're looking to have developed. If it's in their arms, or if it's in their legs, or wherever it is, their biceps, wherever it is, they're exercising to produce something in their life. We're talking about the spiritual aspect this morning of being exercised unto godliness. Because that's what the first emphasis here is, and we've heard it time and time again, this area of adding to our faith an addition, something that is producing something in me, something that cannot be shaken. We live in a kingdom, the kingdom of God, and the things that are in the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. The question is, we say we're in the kingdom of God, but are we grounded? Are we settled in these truths? Have they taken a hold of us? We need some fanaticism. Glory? You laugh at it if you want to. I'm not talking about the fanaticism that you're talking about. I'm talking about fanatical about my relationship with God. I'm not talking about being fanatical on some doctrinal point. I'm talking about fanatical in my relationship with God. I'm interested in God producing something in us. Not just me, in us. We cannot, in the love of God, not be concerned for others if we're concerned in any way. And that's one of the things, brotherly kindness, our brotherly love that he adds in here, which leads us on into the very love of God. We cannot be left alone out here without being exercised. If you're not being exercised, you ought to check in. Sometimes we go along and we're so passive and indifferent that we don't know whether we're being exercised or not. Beloved, those people that are pumping iron, they check in every day and they see whether they're producing something or not. You say, well, I don't want to be like them. No, I don't want you to be like them in that way. But add the Spirit of God, and I want you to be somebody that's looking and seeing that there's progress in your life. There's growth that's coming out of your relationship with God. In other words, beloved, why do we serve Him? If we're not looking for Him to produce something in us. And do we think it's easy? Do we think the discipline of God is easy? It's never been easy, and it's not going to be easy after today. The working of God in our lives that is preparing us to be something, that's building character. And I think we've come to a place, and I hear it so many times, well, I'm just depending on God's grace. I know God loves me. All sounds good. There are facts that are true, but somebody left out a line. God's made provisions to prepare you to where you'll be unshakable in the kingdom of God. And He tells us very clearly what these areas are, and they're very important. One translator says that the first thing that we're going to add to our lives is a goodness of life. A goodness of life. Better known in some translations as a moral excellence. King James says virtue. Does it mean anything to us? Are you concerned with it? It's got to be something that's exercised if we're going to have it. Because the first testing that comes along, if there's nothing built in you, there's no virtue, you cave. You know what that means, don't you? You'll cave to that temptation. You'll be like that morsel of meat. And beloved, that's the furthest thing that we have in mind this morning. But it's to strengthen us to where we're not going to cave, we're going to stand. It's not easy in this world to stand. Every temptation is out there. It's dressed up in so many different colors and dresses that we don't even know what it is. Harlot, many times we think, man, this is the angel of light. And it's dressed up and it's the devil. Enticing us. But we have a promise here in these scriptures here. If these things are in us and are growing and are abundant, we never stop. None of us here this morning can ever stop growing. We may stop growing physically, but there's one element that God has placed within us. You never stop growing in the Spirit of God. You never stop growing in the knowledge of God. Sometimes I think we come to a certain aspect of our lives and we take a hold of certain truths and we think we have it all. And we don't have anything that's built. Beloved, everything that God builds in you is going to be tried. It's the trial of your faith that worketh. But it's nothing built. When the trial comes, you're the one that's going to give in to that temptation. And it can be that which costs you many things. It can be that which brings shame on the testimony of God. We definitely need these areas here strengthened. It goes on to tell us, after adding goodness to our life, moral excellence, virtue. He said that ought to be enough right there. I was talking to somebody that's not of our race. Looking back over the years, we're lazy, if you don't mind me saying so, slothful, don't want to give ourselves. Now let me just illustrate what I'm saying in a very simple way. These are not eternal values, but they speak to me of what eternal values should be. If we, in beginning in school, and going on through school, if we take one language, we've done such a tremendous job. I speak to this woman. She's just an example of so many others that I've met over the years. some children in certain countries speak five languages fluently. What's the matter with us? Huh? Satisfied, lazy, slothful, too much trouble, it has no meaning. And I'm not saying this morning that this is the ultimate. I'm saying that there is a principle working why different ones would give themselves to learn five languages, and it's such an awful thrust for us to learn one. This is thing that's carried right over into our spiritual life. The ways of godliness and the ways of holiness. Then we're going to see that down the road that lust is going to control our lives. Because we're not ready. We're not disciplined. We're not prepared. Self is not under control. You think you can control self? Outside of God, you can't. He that has been exercised by these areas of God and the working of God is the one that's going to stand. The one that has growth in their life. Something is being added to their faith. Don't tell me you can't know when something's added. Don't tell me when you don't realize when there's growth taking place. You can look and see when there's growth. You can realize when there's growth. Particularly in your relationship with God, you can know this place of growth. He's given to us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We haven't stopped to see what lust has done. We do not know the corrupting factor of lust when I want things for myself. You don't know what that does. It's for corrupting you, corrupting your morals, corrupting any ability that you might have to act in God. When you start to desire things for yourself, whatever it is. And as I mentioned, it can be mental, it can be physical, it can be material, whatever it is. Lust takes its toll. It's a corrupting factor. It's like when a snake bites, the venom goes all the way through you. Lust does the same thing, it's just as bad. We do not realize that though. Just because at the moment we may not have this, We haven't allowed God to exercise us to the place that our physical being is ready for what God has worked in us. It can't perform because we're yielding to this body. We're yielding to this mind rather than yielding to the Spirit of God. Then it goes on. Beside this, you're going to say, beside what? Beside this. I mean, when you look at this and what this is, it's tremendous. Partakers of his divine nature, having escaped. You say, we ought to be ready. And this is our attitude so many times. We're ready. We can stand against the world. And we fall. How great is that fall? I've wept tears, literally, a number of times of those that have fallen along the way. Because there's no stability. There's nothing that's grounded in the truth. There's nothing, no holding power. Man, that which is built has a holding power. What I've committed unto God, have we committed everything to God? Have we committed our whole being to God? If we haven't, we need to. This is what commitment is all about. Committing ourselves to God. And then to your faith virtue. If we can get past that first one, to bring a goodness of life, to bring God into expression, the very virtues of who He is, into expression in each one of us. That's a tremendous job. Then he says, add to virtue knowledge. We're not those that are moving without knowledge. We should be moving with knowledge. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? This is the kind of knowledge I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the knowledge that puffs up. I'm talking about the knowledge that humbles us before the mighty hand of God on a continual basis, knowing that only as I move in Him and only as I am in union with Him am I going to be able to stand the test of life. Many good men, many good women have fallen along the way by many different means, and it all began with one thing, the disintegrating power of lust and our lack of knowledge in these areas. If we have knowledge of what God wants and what He has prepared for us, we ought to give ourselves to it with everything that I have, every ability that I have. I can't understand when God brings areas to us that we are not taking and before Him. We're not like the Bereans that are searching the Scriptures to see if these things are true and then giving ourselves to them. To knowledge, temperance. What is temperance if it's not self-control, right? Might say everything in moderation. That's self-control. That takes the power of God. None of this can be done outside of our relationship, which that's what he's saying. Add to your faith. Add to these things. Each one of them takes God in your life. A manifestation of God. Not just playing around with words, because we've played around with words too long. We say certain things and those words are not a reality in our life. This makes those words a reality by giving expression to the reality of those words in our life. Let our lives be a testimony that we have heard His Word, that we have had a relationship with Him. Let our lives testify of this. Let it not take and give testimony of the lust of our flesh, or the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. To knowledge, temperance, glory, the ability to endure. You know, when we read these tremendous, great stories in the Scriptures of how men have endured, we rejoice. We go to the novels that have been written of true stories, not just novels, but true stories about men. We rejoice. We want to read those. My beloved, it gets right down to us. What about your story? What about your story? That's the thing that's going to matter. Self-control. Controlled by God. It's not going to be controlled by God unless you've given yourself to Him completely. Unless you've submitted, unless you've been exercised in this walk of faith. It isn't going to work. And then, only by the grace of God can we add that. It's God's grace that is working. It's not something that we can do separate from Him. So this morning, don't think that any of the things that I'm saying can be done separate from Him. It's all got to be done in union with Him. The temperance, patience. Realizing that God must work it all. The ability that God gives us to endure and go through to His glory and to His praise. Where we can come out on the other side of every test shouting, glory, glory, glory. What's it say there? What I read there? That we have been given to the Lord. We have been given to this place. Called us to glory and virtue. Man, we need to know that when we've come through the test, that's the time to rejoice. Going through the test, you need every strength that you have in God. You need every ability that He's given you. Everything that He's working in you. Man, these tests are not something that are simple. It's not just every day going along. And I mean, when the test comes, the devil's going to be knocking at your door. Don't open it. Sometimes we like to open the door and converse with him, think that we can argue with the devil. Don't answer the door. Listen to me now, in my crude way of putting it. Don't answer the door. And to not answer the door, you're going to have to know something spiritually. Who's on the other side? You need the Spirit of God working in your heart, in your life. Like that story goes about the little boy that brought the rattlesnake down from the top of the mountain. It speaks so clear, time, pick me up. We're so prone today in this hour to play with things and think that we are able to control them. They're just as poisonous as that rattlesnake. You think you can have fun for a time. You think you can enjoy and indulge yourself in whatever it may be. If it's only your mind for a time and it doesn't hurt you. That's just that quick. It'll hit you. Like that snake. When it puts its venom in you. And that's it. Are we prepared? Let's go on. To godliness, brotherly kindness. In other words, there's a brotherly love that is reaching out, a brotherly working that is embracing each other in the family of God. And these things, and then to that, there's going to be added something that is going to be lasting, something that never fails. That's going to be charity or love. We're talking about divine values. Yet what we're talking about here is things that we don't like to talk about. Because it takes energy. It takes spiritual energy, what I'm talking about. We don't like to talk. We like to just go along easy. We like to be fed with pablum. I think that's what they call that stuff. Isn't that what they call that baby food? And then it gets down to a little applesauce and stuff like that. And then mashed potatoes. We like that. It's easy to be taken. Hey, beloved, I'm giving you some meat this morning. Meat, because I believe that for us to be exercised with it is going to take an act of God that is going to reveal to us our real needs of being exercised in these areas. Let me go ahead and read. For these things, and if these things be in you, you've got to be possessors of this. You can't be something that, well, I don't know. And they're abounding. There's growth. There's an overflow. They make you that you need to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Production. Growth. Fruitful. That's what we've been produced. That's what we've been called to. A life of fruitfulness. Much fruit. Not just a little bit of fruit. We'd like to settle this morning if I can just make it in. Don't get on that train. Because that train didn't go into the right place. Those that just barely make it in. If I can only make it in. You want to be on that train that's got much fruit. We've been created in Christ Jesus to produce much fruit. It takes exercise, to be exercised by God in these areas. Those that He loves, How many of you like to be rebuked? Chastened? Well, and I'm not just fooling. I love it. Because I know there's love behind it. It's not always the easy way, but to me, it's the only way. It's not just the best way, it's the only way. Those he loves, he chastens. Those he loves, he rebukes. He's long-suffering with us. But, beloved, we think that the long-suffering overlooks. That isn't what it says. God doesn't overlook anything. When the test comes, he said, but he'll never allow me to be tested above that which I'm able. Are you prepared? Have you been exercised? Have you added? Let these things be added to your life. Is there an increase? Is there abundance? Is there an overflow of these areas? Are they working? Do you know how they? Do you know when they are working? Well, I just don't want to be those that introspect myself. How do you know when you're going? What do you mean you don't want to be those that introspect? I don't want to be one that's introspecting, but the question, do we know? Are we moving with knowledge? And what we're doing, what are we looking for? What little bit we're doing, let me put it that way. What are we looking for? If you exercise 5 minutes, you're only going to get 5 minutes of fruit out of that exercise. You know what a 5-minute muscle is? It isn't much. Well, I know you say, well, I don't want to be those just always walking about talking about the Lord. Do you want to be those that are always about the Father's will? We think that always talking about the Lord is spiritual. That isn't always talking about the Lord that makes you spiritual. Many people talk about the Lord all the time and are not spiritual. The thing that makes you spiritual is that you're doing the Father's will. That's what makes you spiritual. To be exercised by God. And in that place, he never brings us to a place that we're not prepared. Because he prepares us. But we must give ourselves. And that's what it tells us here. Ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. We have been sold a religious system. I trust that it has not infected us. I trust that God has cleansed it from our minds and from our concepts. It brought us to a place of a vital relationship with God that is this morning in our midst to meet our needs, to build in us all that he says we are. Beloved, that's why when you're in God, and the test comes, the test only proves who you are. Did you realize that? Doesn't prove anything else. It just proves who you are. If you're 14 carat, that's all it proves you are. If you're no carat, it proves that too. The testings are not easy. Because many times the testings, you have to put your life on the line. If I might go back and just bring up a fellow, you know, from the past. Daniel, when he would face the lion's den, he put his life on the line. Who God was. We don't get to the place that we can prove who God is. Well, everybody's not going to be thrown in the lion's den, so to speak. Some of you are already in the lion's den. Come on. Are you following? You're in the lion's den. The lions are there to devour you. They don't care about you. They don't care what they have to do to devour you. But if these things be in you, you shall neither, and they're increasing, you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and is forgotten, and is purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. I didn't think we could fall. Take that out, excuse me. Come on. Stay with me. Don't let me lose you there. If you do these things, you shall never fall. This is how God secures us. By faith. We must be mindful of the additions that God is working in our lives. You cannot be partaking of these things and additions happening in your life, strength even, without knowledge of it. To move on in these areas, to know and give ourselves to the working of God, takes diligence. Any of you, how many A students do we have here? Students now. A. Ah. 1, 2, or 3, or 4, or 5. Does that take diligence? Any of you? You just ease along, doesn't cost you anything. No time. How much time do you give to these A's? A lot of time, right. We're not working for grades, beloved. I'm not looking down on this here, because that's what these young people right now at this time, that's what they're in, and they need to give themselves. But we as God's people, including them, need to give ourselves to what God is doing. You don't get A's, you don't get God's approval unless there's a diligence giving ourselves to God. It's just not going to happen automatically. You don't make A's automatically. You did when you was in the first grade, right? They just gave it to you because they thought, you know, you were a kid. Because you did what they told you to do. But beloved, as you go on down the line, you find that things get a little bit harder. Is that true? It's the same thing in our lives. As we come into the Lord, everything seems so wonderful. Then it gets on down to the chastening of the Lord, the training, the instruction, the building in our lives something that's going to withstand, something that's not going to be shaken. Beloved, if any one of you this morning were shaken and you fell into temptation, do you think there would not be tears shed for you? Do you not think it would not bring sorrow to our hearts to know that you were shaken and you fell? You affect me. I affect you. We affect each other. Glory. Sometimes we don't think that our lives have any value, but they do have value. And there's a building together. There's a love that disciplines. There's a love that trains us and corrects us, instructs us. There's a love that we are exercised by. It's all to God's highest good. Why do you make an A? Cindy, can you tell me why you make A's? You want to. Sounds good. How many of you want to this morning? And I'm not talking about A's. But how many of you want to grow? How many of you want additions in your life? That's what you say. I want to. Glory. How many of you want it? Enough to put your whole self active in God, because that's what it takes. God didn't save a bunch of people that's just floating along. God puts action into us when He puts the Holy Spirit, the power of God into us, that we can do the will of God. This is not just floating along. This is not, I hope I make it. This is, I'm going to make it. Because I have confidence in God. I know what God's doing. I see growth. I see increase in my life. I know this is what God wants. I'm created. I am His workmanship, created unto every good work. Glory. Amen. You think this is easy? I just read that. I figure that's what God has done in me. He is doing it in us. If we see the additions that are being added and they are overflowing, they are abundant in our lives. God's not just looking for a trickle. That's what we're looking, just to get by. So many times in our lives, that's what we're doing. We're doing just enough to get by. How many of us go the second mile in this area to where we do more? There's something flowing out. There's an abundance flowing out. But they don't need the abundance. All they need is just enough to get by. And that's not true. Show me somebody that's overflowing with this abundant life, and I'll show you somebody that's affecting other people. You say they're wasting it. No, they're not. It will bring an increase. Glory. Add to your faith. Must be an addition. You're set there. I know you're unwieldy. Because the only addition that can be brought is if you are in a vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about an intimate relationship with God. I mean that you are responding to Him, because those works come out of His creation, not out of you separate from Him. So I know what it takes. Some measure of what it takes. And I say this morning, there needs to be some additions. Because I can guarantee you one thing. The testings will come. In every one of our lives, the testings will come. You either stand strong or you'll yield. To compromise is to yield. God's looking for giants this morning in these areas. Those that will stand tall. Those that will come on up and know God. Upright. When I speak about standing tall, I'm talking about uprightness. I'm talking about righteousness. An uprightness that can only happen as I am entangled with God. Tangled up completely. Just like Paul said, let me say this to us. He said, He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. That's a tremendous, powerful, all-consuming statement. He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. We all want to make A's, but we all don't make A's. God never puts more on us than we have the capabilities of. So just don't badger this back and forth, because we're not talking about that. Those that can make A's, if there's those that only have the ability to make B's, and you're making D's, you're not giving yourself. You don't want to do any better. You're just going along. Social promotion. Nothing like it in the kingdom of God. No social promotion. those that God has disciplined, trained, and instructed. Those that will stand. Those that will not fall. Because as I said, I can guarantee you the testings are there in all of our lives. Whatever they may be, in whatever form they come, they will come. May we come through as a glory to our Father. That's what we're here for, as a glory. We may manifest that which He has worked in. Praise Him.